Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Austin Schuler helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Austin with the message.
Church, let's give God our best today. Oh, come on, I know we can do that. Come on, let's make some noise for Jesus. Man, can you believe it? We're in the summer. You can go ahead and be seated in every location. No matter where you're joining us today, we're so glad you're here. If you're on YouTube, Facebook, I know some of you, it's summer, and some of you I'm seeing on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. Some of you are already at the lake, you're at your boat, maybe you're in the Bahamas or in the Keys somewhere. Wherever you're joining us from today, we believe that God is going to meet us in this moment. Amen? Hey, a couple upcomings before I jump into the message today. One, this coming weekend, next weekend is Women's Conference in St. Louis, Missouri. And then in July, it's coming here, Florida. Come on, Florida, we ready for it. And so, ladies, what I love about our church is we champion this together. Every time we have an event like this, you show up and show out. But in case you haven't invited somebody yet, man, I want to encourage you. Make today the day that you buy somebody a ticket, you invite your sister, cousin, auntie, third cousin, other friend, you know, the friend you're like, do I really want to invite them? Yes, that friend too. They may just need Jesus, okay? And not just that, I love that our men serve the house. Come on, can we give it up for the men of the house? And so many of you have already signed up to be serving, but if you haven't yet, we want to encourage you. The men of the house always show up. It's just like when we have a men's event, our ladies serve and vice versa. And so if you haven't signed up to serve, do it today. It's going to be an amazing time again in St. Louis this next coming weekend. We have Ty Tribbett that's going to be in the house in St. Louis. Like, go to conference, get a concert free, you know? And then when here in July, we're going to have our good friend Torin Wells, and it's going to be an awesome time. And then before we jump, get into the message, last thing is this. If you have middle and high schoolers, parents, grandparents, please, if you hear nothing else I say today, the reason I'm talking on these are important things. There's a two-day pivotal moment that can be a marking in our middle and high schoolers called RevCon that's happening in Florida and in St. Louis. It's 2 days, fun, water parks. I mean, all the things you and I wish we would have had when we were their age. Make sure to get them signed up. I want to see families, parents, grandparents, after service, signing their kids, because this is going to be a moment where we see them marked, where God speaks to them, meets to them. It's a party with a purpose. So come on, let's make sure we do that today. Amen. Well, hey, I want to talk to you today about a simple thought called mind minions. Everybody say minions.
Minions.
You know, the other day I was taking my son Liam to school, and when we drive to school, we always play some type of game. We're interacting, having a little fun together, and we happen to play this game called I Spy. Anybody ever played that? So I'm like, I spy with my little eyes, something yellow, red, we're guessing, we're having a lot of fun, and then out of nowhere, my 3.5-year-old asked me a really deep question. He said, hey, Dad, what are you thinking about? That's exactly how he asked it. I'm like, what are you, my therapist? Like, what's happening right now, you know? Is this getting real, or am I just saying I'm thinking about the yellow sun you just pointed out? I don't know. What's happening here, kid? And I told him, I said, I don't know, Liam. What are you thinking about? He stopped, paused, looked so serious, and no joke, yells at me, banana! I was like, what kid is in my back seat? Next thing I know, he starts kicking my chair. He's throwing toys. He's having fun. He's laughing, yelling banana. And all I'm thinking is, we can't get to his school fast enough. It is his teacher's problem, no longer mine. And I drop him off. We get out of the car. He grabs my leg and he hugs me and he looks up. He says, Dad, I love you. Yeah, my heart melts. I'm like, I love you too, kid. I don't care what happened in the car. You were just acting like your mother. It's okay. She's at home today with our baby Knox, so she may be, no, she's online right now. I'm sorry, babe, forgive me. But what I think Liam is like a lot of us. That is a great depiction of what life can look like, is sometimes we get into a situation all confident, acting cool, and then something happens. We have a thought that leads to an emotion that leads to action, and next thing it's banana! Well, I would never do that. Oh yeah, think about traffic on the way here. That's all I'll say. But in that moment, it was a powerful thought for me of thinking, isn't it amazing the power of one thought?
Yeah.
Because if that thought can get its way in, it can determine what we're thinking about and then can determine our actions. At every location, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, what are you thinking about? Come on, if you're online, put it in the chat. Say, what are you thinking about? Now, this is not a counseling session, okay? I see a couple of people like, well, here's actually what I'm thinking about. Whoa. That's for small groups. But 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says this. It says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought. Some thoughts. The second thought. Positive thoughts. No, it says to take every thought captive. Every thought. So one of the things I want to encourage us today at every location is when you came in, don't leave the same, because I guarantee all of us had a thought on the way in. Maybe good, maybe not good. If it's good, latch on to it and make it better. But if it was negative, I want to encourage you to say, you know what? Right here in my seat is where the negative thought stays, and the positive thought is going to be on the way out, saying, you know what? I had the thought. It may have been followed by a little bit of emotion, anger, frustration, but it's not going to lead to action. I feel like I'm getting a little bit ahead, so I want to back up if anybody's like, what is a minion? What's happening here? Well, minions are actually little characters in a movie called Despicable Me. There's actually a new movie coming out. It made me think of it because I have two young sons. But the makeup in the DNA, the author says, of a minion is a loyal servant. See, minions are actually in the cartoon. They're drawn to serving a villain, or for you and I, it could even be our flesh. But also, let's pause there. Have you ever been the villain in your own story? I couldn't qualify. No, I'm glad they got the promotion because I wasn't ready for it anyways. You know, you start telling yourself like, you know what? I'm going to ask her out. You know what? Maybe she's out of my league. She is out of my league. I'm not even going to do it. And many of us, we get this thing called self-sabotage happening in our brains, and we start blaming it on, God, I thought it was the year of the open door. God, I thought you were going to bring all provision. And he's like, I brought the girl, I brought the man, and you disqualified yourself from receiving the blessing because you allowed these mind minions to sabotage the blessing God has. And sometimes you and I are the ones who say, man, but I'm a sinner. But Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not just some, but all. Back to the minions. See, minions are in their full purpose when they are fulfilled in serving a villain or even you and I's flesh. You know, the narrator says it like this, that actually minions lose all hope when they can't find a villain to serve. Wow. It's actually great news, because if we don't feed the negative, guess what? It goes away. If we don't feed the bad thought, it actually goes away. But is it really that simple? Actually, it may not be that simple, but it is pretty simple. And here in a moment, I'm going to give us a recipe and understanding some action steps of how we can really replace those negative thoughts. So again, from a simple understanding, minions are this. In your notes, I want you to write it down. Minions are bad thoughts and negative thoughts. Simple. So when you hear minion today, negative thought. When you hear minion today, it's a bad thought. Here's our key text. It's Philippians 4:8. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. And it says this. In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good, that are deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. You know, when I think about that text, the author of that text is the Apostle Paul. Did you know when he wrote that he was actually on the beaches of Florida? He was not. He wasn't at the Lake of the Ozarks on his boat. He wasn't at the Lake of the Ozarks on the jet skis playing around. He wasn't in Gulf Shores or Destin. He wasn't in Daytona taking in the sunrise or the sunset. Well, wrong side of the coast. Anyways, you get it. He was in a dirty prison. And he's saying, hey, don't focus on the situation around you. Focus on the things that we can think on, the things that are above, not the things that are around right now. And what I want to encourage someone today is that means whatever your situation looks like does not determine if God is done and where he's leading you to. I'm telling you, if we would focus on it, God has good things, good plans, but we can't be overtaken by what we see in the natural. We got to see it through the eyes of faith. In Philippians 4:13, in that same book, that same author that is writing these things from prison, we also get the scripture, and you may have not known this, as he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You feel maybe a little weak in a location today. You're like, man, I don't know if I can. It's not that easy. I've been dealing with this my whole life. I spoke to someone last night. They said, man, I had some really bad thoughts creeping in, actually some suicidal thoughts. I needed this message. And I said, hey, I know we've talked about this many times. It wasn't just last night. It's been a pattern. But I'm believing this weekend is the weekend that it's done, that it's gone, that we leave it at the altar, that we say, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I'm an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Man, right there, if we just stop on that, we're already overcoming mind minions. But mind minions will always try to take over. And there's a few things that we can actually do to replace those thoughts, to retrain our minds. Yes, I said retrain. It's going to take some action. But because those mind minions or the enemy are constantly trying to take our thoughts captive. But the Bible actually says in John 10:10, the thief, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says that I have come that you may have life and life to the fullness. A full life, a great life. If life does not feel like that right now, that's okay. Because it's going to get better. If we would just focus on the things of God and not the things of our situations. Because what the enemy will do is he'll take your thought life, not in a big way, but it's typically little by little. You know, when I talk to people that have made maybe had a bad day, maybe made a bad decision, cheated, didn't just happen in a day. It happened one too many clicks. It happened a text message, a DM. Okay, I'm not just focusing there. It happened after one too many drinks. You know, you follow it. It doesn't just happen all at once. The enemy will tell you it's good. You're going to enjoy it. And then he destroys us little by little. But the good thing is he tries to destroy, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen. And I'm telling you, if we would retrain our brains, God will do some miraculous things that we may feel overwhelmed. You may have came in and you're like, man, I feel that way right now. Are you reading my mail? What? Were you in my kitchen last night? No, I was not. I was dealing with a 3.5-year-old yelling, banana! But red alert, here's the thing that happens. The enemy will present these things as harmless, cute, cuddly little minions. And they come into life. And they're very kind. What's happening? Why? What? How did I lose you guys? Oh, let me introduce you to two of my friends. See, and what happens is that doesn't look like the thought that came into your mind last night, does it? It looks fun. Hey, how are ya? Like a little dance party. Like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then over here, I have friend number two. Listen, I just got to tell you, Shaquita's just not treating me good anymore. And then these things just start fueling our bad thoughts. And what will happen is they'll start to leech onto you. And you go, wait a minute, what seemed harmless? Wow, this is actually stronger than I thought. And you even have unicorn slippers on. Like, what is, I thought this was just going to be a fun time. But what happens is when you fuel the flesh, those things that look cute and cuddly actually are the things that can take you out. But I want to encourage you today that they don't have to take you out. You can stand firm and say, whoa, 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 I'm going to clear the noise. Sorry, get out of here, you little minions. I'm going to run you out of my life because I don't have room here for you anymore. Well, I've made that decision once. It didn't happen. This is a daily decision. We got to say, no, 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 there's not a place for you in my life. I'm going to set my mind on these things. And here's the thing. I'm going to destroy it through the Word of God. I'm going to believe that I can set my things that are above and not believe as it says in Colossians. I'm going to believe God's Word and His Word. It's true, and we have to set our mind. Say it with me. Say, set your mind.
Set your mind.
Say it again. Say, set your mind.
Set your mind.
We actually have all power and authority to set our minds. You know, one time I went into my garage, and there was this big bird in the garage. And it's flapping around, and I'm like, how did this bird get in this garage? And all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And 20 minutes later, Pastor David comes out. He's like, what are you doing? And he's like, whoa, how'd this bird get in here? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes. I'm sweating. I'm hot. He goes, oh, I got something. He goes in the house, comes out. He's got a net. I say, where were you 20 minutes ago, bro? Like, you just magically pull out a net? He gets the net. We capture the bird. We get it out. It flies free. And I thought, All I had to do was have the right thing in my hand, the right people in my corner to help me deal with the thing that I've been trying and warring with. It was really hard for me. I was sweating. Oh, some of you are capturing this today. And some of us are trying to do maybe this alone when you weren't called to do it alone with the right people in your corner. He solved my problem in a moment. We took action. But many of us were allowing those uninvited guests to stay. Oh, it's taking 20 minutes. I'll just let it stay. You know what? It's not worth the effort. You know what? It's just too much work. But I want to encourage some of us. We got to tell the uninvited guests, you got to go. See you later. Some lady over there is like, she got an uninvited guest. No. But what will happen is, if we don't get them out, they're going to stay. And some of us, we're allowing people to live rent-free in our brains and causing us to make bad decision after bad decision because we're not dealing with the root of the issue. Instead, we're just trying to say, you know what? The bird, it'll just get out on its own. No, it won't. You got to take authority. You got to do it. We have the ability to say what stays or who stays and what goes or who goes. You know, according to the Bible, actually, what I love, it's Jesus and his teachings. He tells us that we've been given the authority. You have the authority to carry out the purpose of God of advancing his kingdom. Even to heal the sick. Defeat Satan. Woo! I got that. You got that. But not only that, it says, and the powers of darkness. And in Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give you the authority to trample the serpents and scorpions over all the power. Not some power, not just the power when you're in a church service, but all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if you walked in today and you've hurting it a little bit, you're not walking in your power and authority that God has given you. You're like, man, how do I? And you feel it? I'm going to give you a couple action steps, but I want you to get to a place where you understand, you know what? Okay, I'm ready to take action. Because we first went in our mind, then we went around us. It's not the opposite. But the problem is sometimes we end up in a destination we didn't want to go to. And the reason is because thoughts are like trains. They actually take us somewhere. You ever start thinking healthy, then you actually end up at the gym and start eating better? You ever think, man, I would love something sweet. My wife loves ice cream. I can always tell, she's like, man, ice cream sounds good. Man, something sweet and, you know, cold sounds good. Next thing I know, she's like, should we get in the car and go get some ice cream? You know what? Yes, we should. Yeah. I read this the other day, and it said a few years ago, Drew decided to visit his sister who was living in France, and he was from America. So he flew over, he got a plane ticket, landed, and had to get on a train. When he went, everybody around him, I mean, it's France, I don't know how he wouldn't have known this, didn't speak English, they spoke French. So he gets on this train and he's going and they, you know, ask him, does he have his ticket? He presents his ticket. They click it. They talk to him in French. He's like, oh, yeah. Thank you. You know, he gets into his seat. The train conductor comes by and proceeds to talk to him. And because he wanted to be nice and he didn't know the language, he was just like, yep. And they clicked the ticket, walked on. And another passenger said, excuse me, are you American? He said, yes, I am. They said, do you speak French? He said, no, I don't. He said, that makes sense why you didn't bat an eye when they told you you were on the wrong train. So many times we're on the wrong train and we're like, yeah. Oh, I'll ignore the warning signs. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. We'll just nod our head. But then next thing we know, we're like, how did I get here? Well, we didn't listen to the correct voices telling us, hey, you're heading down a path. You're heading to a destination. You really don't want to go. So how do we take control? Now that we've talked about, we all have those things, right? It's an even playing field. How do we take control of our minds and our thoughts? I want to give you four things. Number one is this. We have to recognize the mind minions. See, they come in a rational way. They don't come like out of spite. They don't come and say, I'm a mind minion. They just happen little by little. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. See, what happens is so many times when the one minion came in, did you notice there was a second? Yep. Many times when we entertain the first negative thought, there's always a second and third that come. Now, that's actually their brother, their sister, maybe triplets, maybe their cousin. I want to introduce you to a few of them. One of their friends is inaccurate assumptions. Another one is anger. Anybody have ever dealt with their friend anger? Fearful imaginations of things that would come to fruition but maybe never do. Insecurities, worry, sadness, despair, lust, guilt. We've all seen a minion show up in life, but many times we don't know that's what it is. So we have to learn to recognize, hey, these are those negative invaders trying to make their way in our city. They're trying to make their way into my life, Sunset Hills. And when they do, I have to recognize, whoa, I have to be stable. My mind has to be stable. Because in James 1 and 8, it says that he is a double-minded man, and a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so, ladies, if we come into a relationship and you can't tell if he wants to commit or not, it's double-minded. He needs to either know, hey, I'm working on commitment, or I just want something else.
That's right.
Double-mindedness never really gets to the end game of what you think the outcome would be.
Yes.
And we have to stay away from the double-mindedness, not just of others, but even of ourselves, because our thought life works itself from our mind into our life. Well, I was just thinking the thoughts. It's okay. I was just entertaining it. You know, I would never act on that thought. The question to ask yourself is, are you filling your mind with good things? You know, 3 John 1 and 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." I like that, because even I replace that word sometimes in my soul, because my soul is only healthy if my mind is healthy. And beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health if your mind is healthy.
Right.
And when our mind, when we take control of it, the Bible says that we can take every thought captive, not some, but if we take them all captive, we start replacing the negative with the good.
Yes.
All of a sudden, next thing you know, wow, my life started to get better, which we have to recognize it. Number 2 is this. If you're taking notes, we have to reject it. The ones that don't belong, or the bad, those are the ones we really want to reject. You know, I love this quote. It says, "Keep your mind off the things you don't want by keeping it on the things you do want." Or my dad told me a long time ago, "Austin, whatever you focus on will grow." So many people will say the grass is greener on the other side. Many of us, you've probably heard it, know it's green where you water it. Where your focus is, team tends to find harvest or manifestation. Well, I didn't get here. You know, you ever heard somebody say, you're an overnight success. Where were you on those late nights? Graduating high school, I was talking to one of our high school graduates, and they're like, "Man, I didn't get here on accident. I did it by putting in a lot of work and a lot of studying." And so many times what will happen is we'll get these bad thoughts as somebody goes, "How are you graduating? How did you get that job?" And you have to go, wait a minute, those are their words. I have to reject that out of my brain. And the reason is Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." So you're telling me if I fill my mind with good things, have you filled up a water bottle? Let's say it this way. Have you ever filled up a water bottle, and then when it's filled up, there's no room for anything else? Have you ever tried to fill up a full water bottle, and what happens? It just starts to overflow. It makes a mess. I think it's the same way sometimes with our brains or our minds. If we put more good thoughts in our mind, well, guess what? There's not probably a lot of room for the negative. So what happens is when we start getting in God's word and we're transformed by the washing of the water of the word, we walk into the water cooler on Monday and we go, "Oh, hey, did you hear what negative Nancy said?" Hey, I don't have time for it, actually. I have so much good going on in my brain right now that I don't have time for the negative that you're bringing into me. You know what? I'm going to set my mind on the good thing. Wait, you're telling me that negative Nancy can be my mind menu? Yeah. Anybody that's sowing those negative thoughts or doubts into our hearts and into our minds, as a man or woman thinketh, so are they. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. That there's power of death and life in the power of the tongue. If you have it in your heart, and then you have it in your mind, and if you start speaking it, well, yeah, it's a determining factor in our outcomes. And we just have to set our minds to, hey, I'm going to set my mind today to change my thoughts. to change my thought life. Because what happens then is we start sowing in faith instead of digging in doubt. I'm going to give. I'm giving because I want to be blessed. I'm giving only because the Bible said you would give and it would be given to you. So I'm giving because I'm trying to get. No, this is not a business transaction. This is understanding the infallible word of God that says that we are blessed to be a blessing. That it's not just about a tax write-off. It's that we build churches. It's that we love people. Come on, is anybody at Faith Church going with me today? That if we would just sow in faith, that we understand who we are and whose we are. That God can use that. An open hand is worthy of blessing. Yes. God can use you, but we tend to have self-talk. And when we get in our heads, we tend to talk to ourselves more than anyone else. When you talk to yourself, sometimes we look at it and we go, man, how did I get in such a negative mindset today? I haven't been around anybody. The problem is we've been locked up, and isolation sometimes is just as bad as not being around the right people. Mark 11, 24, it says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So today, maybe you're like, man, how do I capture this? Believe God. Pray to the Lord. Hey, God, thank you for this. I believe you're helping me renew my mind. You're helping me recognize and reject. And then the third thing you're asking the Lord to help you in is after we've rejected them, we have to replace them. Yeah. You know, when you pour out the water, pour out the oil, pour out the thing in the container is empty, and now it's ready to be filled back up. So we have to replace the bad with the good. Again, the text I gave you earlier, Philippians 4, 8, this is in a different translation. At the end of it, it says, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What are we thinking about? How do I replace it? What are you thinking on? If you're thinking on negative, we just went in an empty container and started putting negativity as the foundation and the base. We were never meant to have a foundation built on negativity, my truth, this is the truth. No, there's only one truth, and that's the truth of God. And I'm telling you, when we walk in Him and we say, He is my foundation, He is my firm rock, that if I build it on this, that it can and it will last. That's how we replace it. What are the things of God? What does His word say? But the problem can be, if you're like me, is sometimes I'll always think about the bad in whatever I'm doing. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one. I'm just going to think probably all of us have done this. But have you ever thought of just the bad and everything? You ever been in a season like that? I remember I was in a season, and I still do it sometimes, but I'm trying to retrain my brain. I'm being honest with you. It'll come in, and I'm like, wait a minute. No, I'm getting into that pattern again. Stop. But you ever get into a relationship, and you're like, man, it's just going to end like the last one. You know, finances, I've just never enough. You know what? Why can't I just be like, Bob always gets blessed by God. Always. You know, I was talking to a guy last night, and he said one time, a guy he knew was praying and telling God, like, God, how come this guy always gets blessed? Everything he touched, he's always blessed. God, I want that blessing. And the Lord's like, hey, if you did what he did and had a heart towards me like he does, I would do the same for you. And maybe today I want to encourage you that we've been seeing the bad in it going, why do they have a good relationship? Why do they have a good job and finances? And, I'm not good enough. It's me. You know, it's God just doesn't love me. No, God's saying, hey, maybe we need to turn our mind and our heart back towards the Lord and say, God, when I walk in, God, I'm going to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. God, I thank you that the open door in 24 is still ahead of me, that I'm going to walk on through those things that you have for me, the things that are good and not for evil. God, that you have a plan and a purpose for my life.
That's right.
That's how we replace it.
Wow.
We start to think, you know what? Proverbs 23:7. I've said it a few times, but this is a scripture reference. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he, or so he will be. Some of us, we walked in and we have a heart issue of our own thoughts of self. You don't think you could ever be something because somebody told you you can't. And every time you start to think positive about yourself, your foundation isn't built in Christ. Your foundation is built on the words of others.
Wow.
And sometimes that's the thing you got to scrub out. You ever, the other day I was doing the dishes and I was scrubbing the dishes and I was like, man, I can't just put this dish in the dishwasher. I don't have like a bougie dishwasher. My dishwasher's not going to be able to handle this. Like, I got to get in there and scrub, get some elbow grease in this thing. And I was scrubbing it. And then finally I put it through the dishwasher and it got done and it was still on there. So I scrubbed it again and put it back in the dishwasher. Because some things don't just come off on accident. It takes being intentional. So maybe some of you walked in, we have to think about what we're thinking about. Again, these minions, they're those bad and negative thoughts that present themselves to us. But can I tell you this, is we have to qualify the thoughts that are coming in, and we have to figure out what is negative, what is positive.
Yeah, good.
Because sometimes where we see a problem, God has a plan. You know, we had a car, it was having some issues. We took it into the shop. A friend of ours was like, hey, I know a guy. You take it down here. The guy starts working on the car. That friend was like, hey, whose car is this? Like, oh, it's the pastor, you know, of the church. He's like, oh my gosh, I've seen them on TV. That friend then was like, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Just try it out. He's like, man, I don't know. That roof may fall in. You don't know what I've done. And that friend was like, hey, listen, once you're done with the car, why don't you just come at least say hi and say, hey, I'm the one who fixed your car. He said, okay, maybe I'll do that. He comes into church. Next thing we know, he's in worship. He gives his life to Christ and renews his mind and says, you know what? Maybe the car wasn't about fixing the car, but it was the way God was getting him into church. And I'm telling you, we're one invite away from making that impact. And I want to encourage you, when you leave today, you should be grabbing stacks of invites, because there's more people just like that gentleman who need you to invite them. They're like, man, I don't know. The roof may cave in. You can be like, listen, here's my testimony, okay? If the Lord didn't have the roof fall in on me.
That's right.
Somebody just slapped, oh, that's you, that's you. Ma'am, not in church. Repent for him, okay? Like, this isn't even in my notes. You ever had this where my mama's like, oh, that's his story, my son. Oh, God bless you, mamas. We love you, mamas. But what are the things that are currently in our world that we need to look at differently? You know, that's a simple thought. Like, hey, we need to look at things a little bit different, which leads me to my last thing in my last few minutes. Philippians 4:9, it says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why do I read that scripture? Because once we replace it, we then have to retrain our brain. Well, I don't know if I can do it. No. Philippians 4:9 says the God of the peace will be with you. I can't do it by myself. You don't have to. He already promised that he is with you and that he will be with you. So some of us just have to press the reset button. You know, the other day I was working on our air conditioning at our house, and our air wasn't working. And so I called one of our guys. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. How do I do this? He said, did you press reset? I said, no. You know, like, I changed the filters. I sprayed it out. He's like, did you press reset? I'm like, man, I don't know why you keep asking if I press reset. No, I didn't. I did the filters. I Googled it. I YouTubed it. They didn't tell me to press reset. He said, did you press reset? No. Press a reset. No, it's not that easy. Press a reset. Just try it. Okay. Did you press it? Yeah. Is it off? Yeah. Is it resetting? Yeah. I'm going to come tell the truth over here so you can see it. He said, did it come back on? I said, I don't know. I heard the noise, though. He said, like a good noise? Like it's running? Yeah, I think it's running. He said, did the reset button work? I said, man, I'll call you later. But many times to get the results we want, we gotta press reset. You're telling me it's that simple? Sometimes it's just that simple. But some of us, it's not even that you gotta press reset, it's that you set it to 70 and you're hoping it's 68. It's maybe not a reset, you just have to reset it. If I want to see good, I got to think good. If I got to see prospering, I have to give so that I can be blessed. If we want to see the things, we can't just expect it. Hey, I'm going to do what I've always done at 70 degrees, but it's going to be 65. No, you got to turn it to 65. You have to change the dial and improve it to see God move in you and through you. And I'm almost done. Because the difference in a thermostat and thermometer is a thermometer will tell you the temperature or tell you what's happening or tell you, oh, that's negative, oh, that's positive. But a thermostat has the ability to set and be a change agent. And some of you, I want to encourage you, you may have walked in as a thermostat saying, or thermometer saying, man, life doesn't feel great. I would love to see God move. And I want to encourage some of us today, we need to walk out thinking like a thermostat and saying, you know what? I'm going to start setting the temperature in my life. I'm going to start believing God and His Word. I'm going to reset the things around me and say, you know what? My mind is set on the things that are good, the things that are above, and I'm going to start looking ahead instead of looking behind. Come on, if you're getting it, say, I'm getting it. I want everybody to stand with me and encourage me and Pastor words of Pastor David to shut up. But we have to retrain where we want it to be. Philippians 4:9, it says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Again, you don't have to do this in your own strength. God is with you. One last story and then I want to pray for you. An old man is teaching his grandson about life. He says, grandson, a fight is going on inside me. He said to the boy, and it's a terrible fight. It's between two wolves. One is evil. He's angry, consumed by sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, guilt, bitterness, lies, false pride, ego. He continued, but the other is good. He's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. He said, see, the same fight is going on in the inside of you and in the inside of every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a moment and he asked his grandfather, he said, grandfather, which wolf wins? The old man simply replied, the one you feed. That's right. And so maybe you came in and you're like, man, I really want to see the positive. I really want to see the good, but what's happening on the inside of us is we have two different minions or two wolves. We have the good and the bad, but the one that will win is the one that we feed. Which one are we feeding today, Faith Church? Are we saying, man, I'm going to press in and say the good things of God that are for me, or are we going to leave here today and be like, you know what? That word was for someone, but it may have not been me. No, I'm telling you, this word is for you today. And I just want to pray over you and believe that God, who worked all things together for the love of those who love Him, who seek Him, that He has good things for you. But you have to receive it and believe it. Father, I thank You for each and every person across every location today, maybe listening on rebroadcasts on YouTube or on our online campus today, maybe even on podcasts. Maybe it's a month from now. God, I pray for them right where they are. They're saying, man, I do have those negative thoughts and I'm tired of thinking this way. It's just stinking thinking and I'm ready to believe in myself again. Father, I ask You right now, You said that You gave us all power and authority. God, meet them right where they are. You said that You would be a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. God, help them to know what steps to take in what direction, what thoughts to take captive and start replacing that negative with the good. Father, I pray right now that the peace of God would surpass all their understanding of past hurts, past doubts, and that they would start believing. You said that they are a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that You made them in Your image. And today we believe it and we receive that and we accept it. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you believe it today, Faith Church. Come on, if you believe it, can you say amen? And amen.